Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Today we are doing Batman, the video game. It's the only one that was ever made.
It's nice that Batman finally got a video game, and I just wish there were more of them.
It comes from a wonderful time of movie games, I think, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Like, it gets Batman right. Like, if it were really based on the movie, like, Batman would be, like, really clumsy, really slow. He'll fall through the roof, stand there, and then a bunch of dudes will, like, take turns punching at him, and Batman will just, like, catch their punches, and, like, while standing basically motionless except for his arms, like, in this game, he moves like you think Batman's gonna move.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I think that's obvious.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is our 231st episode, which you know what that means. It really doesn't mean anything, but what we're going to be doing for this one is Halo Combat Evolved, which was nominated by Mr. Hypno Chicken on Stitcher. Thank you, Mr. Hypno Chicken, for that 5-star review on Stitcher. It was developed by Bungie and published by Microsoft for the Xbox, a console so extreme it has two X's in it, don't you know? It was published in 2001 on November 15th in the United States. Was it a launch title?
I think it was a launch title, yeah.
I believe so. It was the launch title. Before I get ahead of myself, I am
good. Well, let's do introductions. I think everybody knows who we all are, but introduce yourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
I am Word on the Wind.
And I am Satanga.
Welcome back, both of you. Thank you so much for joining me on this Halo Combat Evolved special episode. I was actually at the E3 where the Xbox and such were unveiled.
Oh, really?
It's the only E3 I've ever been to, and that was back when it was still kind of mostly a trade show. So there weren't like a lot of disheveled GameStop employees like clogging up the lines for stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you consider it a grim omen of things to come when Microsoft took Sega's place as the third major console pusher?
You know what it was? It's not that, because at that point, the Dreamcast had already, like, it was already dead.
Yeah, that's
funny. And so I was still kind of bummed about that, because I like the Dreamcast.
We all were.
But it was, which is weird because people don't realize that about it, is that it was dead before the other, like before the Xbox and the GameCube were even out, which is sad, but true. Yeah. My big thing is I was looking at Microsoft as like, these are the people who make some of the worst hardware on the planet when they make hardware. And yes. Back then, it might not be true now anymore. I mean, in fact, it definitely isn't. So I'm not dissing your Surface, whatever. Okay. People, like, it's
great, great stuff. And they've proven that they can do this. I mean, it's not like the Xbox itself, or certainly not its successors, are like junk hardware. So, although there were like problems, but, you know,
I was in like high school and or something like that at this point, maybe even junior high. And I was just like, Microsoft, they make Windows.
Yeah. I mean, they made all the
video games.
Yeah. They make everything that's not fun. So it was.
They're not responsible for Entertainment Pack 2 or 3 or whatever.
Yeah,
whichever the one that not,
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. They actually had been publishing games for a long time and all that, and some of them being very good games. But no, the weirdest thing to me is that their booth, or there really wasn't a booth. Of course, it was like a giant quadrant of the convention floor. But their quadrant was mostly like this giant, like it looked like the Terradrome from like Cobra and G.I. Joe. It looked like this giant, like black, like weird, like rampart kind of octagon shaped thing.
The Xbox.
And it took up most of their area. And the part that was available to the regular, like, you know, normal average Joe convention goers was like just the periphery outside of those walls. And only like, you know, like the big magazines and stuff got invited inside of the compound. So I have no idea what was actually in there. I'm guessing snacks. But on the outside, yeah, it was just like, so one of the games I think we could play, I do believe one of them was Halo. Another one was, I can't remember, they weren't very good. But the main thing, my main takeaway was just like, this controller is gigantic. This is like holding like 2 salamis.
Oh, I thought it was 360. Ignore me.
No, the original Xbox controller was, at the time, it felt
huge. I've heard that. Like, I only ever held the thing in, like, demo stations and whatnot, because, like, I never had the thing myself. So it's like, oh, okay, let's just head over to CompUSA, that other thing that doesn't exist anymore.
Did they change the controllers?
I do know they released a second one later that was smaller and more compact, because, like, you know, the huge controller was, like, a major complaint.
Yeah, the Duke no longer, as it were.
Was gigantic. It's like, you know how like sometimes if you haven't held like an original Genesis controller in a long time and you pick one up, you're like, oh wow, this is,
it's like, what the hell is kinda, this?
this thing is chonky, you know? Mm-hmm. But this is different. This is an order of magnitude different. And it was mostly what everybody was talking about.
Yeah, like at the Xbox. When one of your design specifications becomes like the butt of jokes in an early, and you know, it's like it becomes a meme on the internet before people knew what the word meme meant.
Wrapping your each one hand around a separate can of Ready Whip, and they were somehow joined together, and there were buttons on the top. That's how big it felt. Anyway,
it feels about as cumbersome as a Jaguar controller.
But I probably did if they were showing Halo, I would have played it, because I played all their games at the show, and I don't remember anything about it because nobody had any concept like of what you do with this. It wasn't until it came out and became a phenomenon that I got to play it the way it was intended to be played. But what should we say about this before we go any further?
So
it's a first person shooter. It's got multiplayer.
Yeah, it does have campaign co-op, which is, you know, kind of a novelty at the time, actually.
Perfect Dark had it, but it was like a snail's pace.
It actually performs, you know, very well in that regard. And, you know, it's like, I know a lot of people like really talk up like the way that they like the way that like the difficulty settings work and et cetera.
How did they work?
Just like the way the levels are, the difficulty levels are set up. Like they felt like, okay, like, yeah, this is, you know, a sufficient departure from this that, you know, like I feel a difference. The enemies behave appropriately different. And, you know, it's not just like, oh, numbers are bigger. The enemies like do actually become more badass by virtue of fighting smarter in the higher difficulties.
Yeah, it's not like say GoldenEye or something like that, where it's just like, oh no, like you get shot once and you're pretty much dead.
You know, they're more likely to, you know, dodge grenades that they see coming. If, you know, they see you like actually like, you know, reach for a grenade and throw it, you know, they're gonna be like, all right, time to, you know, just dive over there and not explode.
Yeah.
It's like if there's vehicles around, they'll grab into vehicles, they'll try to run you over and that kind of shit.
Did either of you know about Bungie before this?
I did not. I learned about them having made Marathon afterwards when, you know, Red versus Blue kind of popularized it.
Yeah, same here. I actually didn't know what Marathon was. And I mean, I didn't grow up using Macs, so...
Same.
I did!
Oh, you're going to be the hipster geek now, aren't you?
Is that just a New Jersey thing? Is like, if you were in New Jersey, you had a Mac?
No, I mean, look, my...
Because I know that was a thing with Beef.
I didn't know that Beef used
Mac. Beef used to be like a Mac aficionado until he started streaming. Then he finally gave up and was like, okay.
Yeah, you can't. No, that's not going to work. No, I still use a Mac to do my job stuff because, yeah, it's like, sorry, it's like way easier. But to play games, not the same. I use my Mac to stream from my PC to play games. But anyway, yeah, no. So the thing about Bungie, I mean, if it hasn't been said before, if you haven't heard it before, I guess you're going to have to hear it from me. But yeah, like, you know, you could get popular PC games on the Mac back then. It was actually a little bit better than it was now, even though it was not as easy to port. But it was possible. But it took a while. Like, I think it took like a year to get Doom. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it did. And you just never knew what you were going to get. And they were sometimes buggier. It was clearly not designed for that hardware, and it showed. So Bungie was a developer that would make FPS games for the Mac, and they were really good. I don't have, like, you should, there's a, probably several years old now, there's a Retronauts episode about the Marathon series. And that is definitely worth checking out. They explain it much better than I ever could. But yeah, they were very good games and very highly regarded. I wasn't like a major fan of them, but I did play them.
Yeah, I did play through the first two in full, but I didn't get very far in Infinity.
You can play them now, right? There's like a universal version of the game or something you can play on your regular PC and all that. But
yeah, I've never played it myself, but like I do have a friend who like has played a bunch of them and generally speaks pretty highly of them, so...
Yeah, it's like if you played Doom and you played Duke 3D and stuff, and you wanted like more of the same without going to like, you know, 3D graphics like Quake or something like that. If you really like that classic FPS style, that's probably the place to go. I mean, you know, your Rise of the Triads and such are great and all, but
well, that was like the. That was just a modified Wolf 3D engine. That wasn't.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like you're working.
All right.
Yeah. So they were very highly regarded. But when in the Macintosh community, we found out that Bungie was going to be a huge supporter of the Microsoft console. Oh, clutching our pearls. Now, I mean, of course, nobody really cared, but it was interesting. It was funny. But it was also smart.
I always thought that was like a very interesting development. Like it was like, okay, our entire gamography is on, you know, the Mac, which is the chief rival to, you know, like the Windows, you know, personal.
In the 90s, it was not a chief anything.
Chief.
No, I said chief. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like it. It's like nowadays there's like it fools you into thinking that a lot of people had it in the 90s, but they didn't.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Who else was competing with, you know, Microsoft for personal computer sales back then?
The Amiga.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you know, you're right.
That's what I mean.
You know, yeah, like, I know. It's only real rival, but yeah.
Yeah.
While Microsoft was sitting on Boardwalk and Park Place, they decided to give us the Xbox, and with Bungie's support, I hate to sound like an internet buzzword PR guy, but I want to say Halo was really the game that popularized the term quote unquote killer app.
It was not, but okay. No, definitely not, because people were saying that at least as far back as Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Killer App was like, it was usually referring to apps. Like, so, like, you know, Microsoft Office, right? Like, Excel was like a killer app back in the day. Oh, yeah, it was. So, yeah, but your point is well taken, because when you're talking about, I mean, that was the reason why people had Xboxes, really. I don't think without Halo that there would be an Xbox 360 unless Microsoft really just like felt like throwing money down the toilet.
Because there was that and Munch's Odyssey, but at the starting gate. But yeah, Halo was 99% the reason that people got Xboxes, and the reason why some people consider it better than the GameCube because they failed to provide a Mario game at the gate.
Well, yeah,
I mean they provided Smash Melee, which, you know, tournament grognards are still going on about.
Eventually.
Don't get me started.
Yes, they did. Eventually. Look, no, I was on the GameCube train, all aboard, choo-choo, but...
Yeah, I got a GameCube before I got an Xbox, for what it was worth.
Yeah, I mean, I never had an Xbox, mostly because of my horrible, nightmarish experience with that controller. but I did. But when I played Halo, like, I got it. Like, if you play the multiplayer, that was the real deal. And for a lot of us at the time, it was like the next step from GoldenEye. Like, people were still playing GoldenEye like years later.
Yeah, because I'm going to go touch on this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so first off, for my own background, because I've repeatedly said that I didn't have an Xbox, I played this on PC, because I did eventually release it on PC. But the big thing that Halo brings to the table, or, you know, Halo Combat Evolved, is like, you kind of realize that Combat Evolved is kind of a mission statement that it actually delivers on. This is a game that has console multiplayer that's better than GoldenEye, pretty much in any given direction. You have, you know, much more complex environments. You have many more potential players. You have, you know, much like smoother frame rates and et cetera, just like higher performance, you know, back end stuff. And then on top of it, it was like, okay, we're looking at the FPS formula, and we see that a lot of other games all have good ideas, but not at the same time. This game has, you know, vehicles in it. This game has, you know, one button melee. This game, you know, like Duke 3D has one button melee. And then I think it was Shadow Warrior has like one button grenades or something like that. And, you know, it's like you have another, you know, like other games would have like, you know, hot switching weapons. That was Rise of the Triad, where you had like, you know, limited weapons, but you would like bounce between them a lot given on your, like, your situation. You just like pick them up and go. And Halo Combat Evolved is where all of these like good ideas had been put forth were actually applied in concert.
Yeah, console or no, I would say this was the next major FPS after Half-Life to move the genre forward.
Probably was, and in a very different way, right?
Yeah, and it did. I'm going to get ahead of myself a bit here, but it did also start a bad trend of the Xbox being so popular for FPSs that some developers would consoleize their first-person shooters and kind of dumb them down from their PC counterparts. And thus we got Deus Ex Invisible War, nothing was good ever again.
I knew you were going to go into that.
Yeah. I like Deep Deadly Shadows, though. That was cool, at least.
So this one, the cameras did not work like GoldenEye. That was a big change, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was like,
yeah,
proper.
Like you actually had like analog aim and whatnot.
Right. Which is a big deal. Like, it's hard to imagine if you didn't live through it, that was completely normal for console FPSs. It's just like, oh yeah, you aim by like holding down the R button or something.
Yeah, you hold the aim button wherein you stop and aim.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Let's be honest, but
it makes a degree of sense, but yeah,
but it's
like,
not
it's like an actual game. It's kind
no,
of,
as a gameplay mechanic, it's very frustrating once you've really, now to be fair, like if you wanted to play GoldenEye with an N64 controller in each hand, you could do it, and they had that set up. It was possible, but you couldn't do multiplayer that way.
Third leg boomerang.
Yeah, you couldn't do that with multiplayer.
And well, you could, but it's only 64.
Anyway,
I never got around to that one. I should have.
So, but was there anything else that this game kind of added to like the multiplayer game that sort of changed the game? I'm sorry, I'm running out of metaphors.
Innate like voice chat, or am I getting ahead of myself?
I never really played it online, by the way. I only
ever played on PC, so I couldn't say anything on the Xbox end of things.
I'm going to direly confess I've never played Halo multiplayer. At least I don't think I ever did. Maybe like once or twice, but it's...
At least my experience is useful.
Know that when we were discussing some of these things in, you know, like our preparatory area, community mod Shadowhog brought up that they kind of do like something in this game that they've apparently never done in any other game ever, which was when you put your cursor or crosshair over like an enemy, the camera will limitedly like trace them and follow them. So from there, you can actually like, you know, analog up and line up a headshot, as opposed to having it be like an entirely Twitch related affair or relying entirely on like an auto aim that just kind of does it for you.
Yeah, it's not an auto aim. It's more like a snap to type thing.
It's like a semi lock on.
Yeah, it's pretty. It is pretty. Like the way I played it multiplayer was like two Xboxes, two TVs, and eight people.
So it's like an Xbox LAN network thing, but with 4 players per screen. And it was definitely fun. I remember the vehicles being a big deal. Like you could get the Jeep or whatever it was called, and that was Warthog. Yeah,
I think it looks more like a Puma.
Say so.
It's a car.
That's a red versus blue line. Come on,
it's a car. I don't remember. We're talking about red versus blue, but we're gonna have like to talk about
iconic one.
You handle that. I look like such a turd right now. Jeez, thanks a lot, Word.
Anytime.
Well, I never watched it, and I don't care. So,
I don't think we can ignore red versus blue because
we can't. But I will not contribute to it. So.
All right, that's fine. I will touch on it briefly. Red versus blue is pretty much the example of what was eventually referred to as machinima, basically playing a game and using like the gameplay of it to like stage like little videos and other whatnot kind of things. And that became, popular as a result of Rooster Teeth playing Halo, where they made like their own like little original story that had basically nothing to do with, like the actual like Halo setting and narrative rather. And it was so popular as a result that when Bungie was making Halo 2, they actually implemented a function that would allow the character to like carry their weapon at ease, as opposed to always pointing it forward, just to facilitate conversations for Red versus Blue in future productions, even though that has absolutely no gameplay benefit whatsoever.
That is pretty interesting. Yeah.
Like that is how much, the contribution to Red versus Blue got people playing Halo.
Didn't that stuff end up on Netflix or something at some point?
Rooster Teeth kind of went off and became its own thing. And then you got like stuff like Ruby and other stuff going on now.
Yeah.
But, Red versus Blue is, where that started, and Halo is directly responsible for that. So.
Yeah. So there you go. Cultural touchstone for people who aren't me. which is fine.
I never watched anything beyond Red versus Blue, but damn it, Red versus Blue is funny.
I got glimpses of it, and I like what I did see.
I'm sure it's good. I just because I didn't know what it was, I'm like, what is this Halo? I don't care. Like, I'm not gonna.
You should check it out, Xerxes. I know you'll like it.
It's pretty late now. I never played World of Warcraft at all, but I was into like kind of the meme-y videos of that.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I was down with the Leroy Jenkins stuff, so it's still funny. I'm sorry, that is still funny.
It is. It's scripted, but it's still funny.
Oh, it's completely fake. Yeah, but that's what makes. I've heard that come into like I listen to a lot of different podcasts, not just like game podcasts and stuff, and that has made its way into like the zeitgeist of like you'll hear it on like
on Jeopardy. Like,
oh, it was?
Yes. Really? It's like in like the world in which warriors like Leroy Jenkins do battle. What is the World of Warcraft?
Yeah, wow. Cool. Yeah, no, I've heard somebody's like some hapless politician's strategy compared to like that's a Leroy Jenkins strategy of like just run in and fail. but anyway. Yeah. Okay. What else do we want? Like, what else did Halo do? Like, is there anything else that Halo did like very well that had never been done very well in this kind of game before? Besides the fact that it was like an FPS with multiplayer on a console that was really, really good.
Yeah. Like, as I said, like it brought all the good ideas and put them into one place. It does have, like the negative notation of when all the copycats of success looked at it, they went and tried to copy everything that, they could comprehend without really making sense of just why it worked.
Can I go into grump mode and wax on a particular gameplay point that was a bad trend for the 2000s?
I'm going to guess you're going to mention being only able to carry 2 weapons.
Oh, wow. You're really good. Where I was going.
Wax on, Grasshopper, please.
Yeah, well, it kind of works in this game because you need to kind of change weapons frequently, and like having all of them at once would make things arguably too easy. So it really was a strategic bent to having just the 2 weapons and, dealing with the enemy variety therein. It worked well counter to it, but later games just made it feel restrictive and made me miss the days of Doom and Quake where you had your immediate gratification like that.
Yeah, like, it works in Halo because there's, in addition to having a large variety of weapons, they're also very different, and there's also a lot of them at any given time. Like, there's always, like, at least four weapons immediately available that are entirely different, leaving you with, you know, all kinds of options of how to approach a situation. Yeah, they're not just differences. They're not just, like, different kinds of assault rifle or whatever.
Yeah, they're all really effective weapons, too. They each bring, you know, something to the table, but you can... Yeah, the Needler is this game's most unique gun. Probably the trickiest to use, but a very fun one to make the most out of.
It's not particularly practical, but damn it, it's hilarious.
Oh, yes. Oh, and then this game's God Magnum pistol, which killed hunters with one shot to the back. Yes, yes, that is what I'm talking about.
The classic days of Pocket Sniper.
Yeah, but then later games kind of made it feel stupid. Maybe even arguably later Halo games. I don't know. Is that too down to say?
I don't really care. Go ahead.
I'm not sure how much we should talk about the rest of the series.
I'm nowhere near as positive on the rest of them. That can be, you know, something for another recording.
Oh, come on. The first, like, three were fine, right?
Yes.
Like, they're okay. But they're not terrible. I don't feel as positively about them as this one, is all I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Well, they're all, I think, classics, but with asterisks, referring to the first one. I can mostly only just talk about the campaign, if you wanted me to delve into that.
I do, because I'm not going to. Some people always bring up the Flood as a particularly strong negative point about the game.
Yeah, where the game lost the brainy Covenant enemies you had to use actual strategy against, and it just becomes a zombie shooter, so to speak. It was kind of like the reverse of what Half-Life did, where the Marines came into play. I like the idea of the Flood, actually, and that was when the game also finally gave you the shotgun, the last weapon in the whole cycle that was very good. But, I mean, I see why the Flood were there. They were important to the plot, and I will mention that this game has a pretty good plot. More straightforward than future games, but the building of the mythology is there, this sci-fi world where the humans are at war with the Covenant aliens for reasons. But then this Flood thing kind of is behind why the Halo world exists, and it's a very terrible secret, so...
What is the Flood?
A parasitic race that has taken over and corrupted humans and Covenant alike, and...
Covenant being the other bad guys, right?
The aliens, yeah.
So to speak.
They're like the Klingons, and then we're talking about like the Borg. Right?
That's more alien than that.
Bad comparison, but yeah.
Hey, come on. I did my best. I don't even watch Star Trek.
Think more. Star Wars. They're more like Star Wars aliens than Star Trek aliens.
It's like the idea of like an overwhelming force, right? That's not really something you see in Star Wars.
I mean, that's what, you know, the Empire is, but
no, they suck. They always lose.
Numbers. Well,
the Empire struck back and they won that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a ringer. Okay, I'll give you that. All right, look, okay. But yeah, so what is... Okay, continue, I'm sorry.
But yeah, I guess I should ask why Master Chief became such a gaming icon.
By default, I would say.
Basically, it's just like, okay, here we have the flagship character of... You know, the most important game on Microsoft's first console. And, you know, it is, you know, damn near a masterwork of design and innovation by just taking a bunch of good ideas, adding in their own, putting them all in one place, and just saying party.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The suit is pretty badass, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the suit, of course, is just there because you can make it look good without much effort. If he had like people's faces on the Xbox, it would look terrible.
Yeah, my understanding is like they always like made a point of obscuring his face because like they kind of wanted to have him to have like a mysterious identity. And then apparently they just turned out his name is fucking John or something.
It was a biblical reference or something like that.
Oh, screw off.
Fascinating. If true, I don't care.
If you want to know about game lore, I sadly know more than I should about some. So
yeah, I mean, it's look, there is Halo lore. Some people love it. Some people are like me and forget it.
I had a friend who bought novels, and I never understood why.
I don't know. There were Doom novels.
Like, those are good.
Yeah.
I remember we used to tease, like, there's one kid in my middle school who was reading the Doom novels, and we were joking, like, and then I got the blue key, and I went to the door, but it said I needed the red key, so I went back to where I came from and started punching the wall until something opened up, and then I got the red key.
I mean, Bungie did put some effort into the overall architecture of how the game goes, and then, like, Halo 2 greatly, hugely expanded the plot, and it kind of made it complicated, so maybe that wasn't such a good thing, but I can understand why it took off the way it did. So why did Gears of War get novels is what I want to know.
Why do any of these games get novels? Why do games get novels, period? They're games.
Yeah, like, there was one other, like, major influence, like, going back to, you know, other, you know, game designers looking at a thing, not really getting why it worked, and then, like, imitating it badly, and, you know, that's the, you know, the regenerating shield. Unlike every, like, game that had, like, a regeneration mechanic as, you know, like, a primary thing, and even, like, Halo's own sequels, in Halo Combat Evolve, you do have a health meter in addition to the shield. Like, you can survive some hits when the shield is down. You know, that's just there as a buffer. There are health kits spread throughout the whole level.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah,
like, I feel like that's a very good compromise. Is like, especially, like, if you have, like, you know, hit scan or near hit scan weapons, it's like, okay, you're not just, like, totally hosed because you have, like, 3 health or something like that.
And then feature FPSs would gonk that up and just give you entirely regenerating health and make things boring.
It's like, instead of having it operate as a threshold, that was just like, no, it's like, if you just take too much damage too quickly, then you're dead. And, like, the regeneration mechanic in and of itself is a good idea because you have, like, as I just said, you're not going to really run into a situation where you, like, you run into, like, one unavoidable attack and it's like, oh, my save is just over there and now I'm completely screwed. I either have to, like, start the level again or start the game again or whatever. No, like, you know, you're always able to advance. But, you know, it's like, a lot of people took that the wrong way and just went, like, okay, this is all you have. And so you're just going to spend a lot of your time, you know, hiding behind a wall, sucking your thumb.
Yeah.
Interesting image.
That's a fair point. But to talk a bit more about Halo's structure itself, it is very, I think it is an actually legitimately good campaign for the first 3/5, it being 10 missions all in all. And some of these do actually get pretty damn long also.
But
the game craps itself after that.
I do know that another common complaint about the game was that, especially in the second level, which is the name of a ship called the Truth and Reconciliation. It's like the most pretentious fucking title.
That's the third one, but yeah.
Is it the third? Whatever. And it's like, you have, like, a lot of very, you know, asset reuse corridors that look very similar and whatnot. So it's like, a lot of people would be like, wasn't I just here? Am I going in circles? And they're not, but they feel like they are. So it's like,
that's pretty true to sci-fi stuff, though.
To a degree, yeah.
To save on set money.
Yeah.
To save on everything is like that, yeah. So, look, I think we gotta move on to ranking, like, it. And
I think what I'm basically saying is Halo is much better as an innovator and a milestone than it is as an actual, like, game.
Well, yeah, taking it per se, I do think that deserves its classic status, with an asterisk or two, especially if we're talking about the campaign, because the library, that level is the pits. Oh my god, holy crap. That's the 7th mission. It is tedium defined, and the game kind of loses its steam after that. The last mission's not bad.
So, this is, okay, so I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not a huge fan of the Halo series. Don't have any particular affection for it, but I do recognize that it's one of the few, I mean, there were so many FPS games that came out before and especially after this, and console FPSs to boot. And I don't feel like there were too many that really were watershed moments in the genre. It took a long time for game. I think really after this game, right? I think the next big FPS games were the ones that were dealing with, like, new FPS multiplayer mechanics. And so the first, you know, the single player campaigns really don't matter as much anymore. Starting here, it's really more about, like, sadly, but I think inevitably, because there's only so much you can do with those mechanics. I really don't think that they're just too simple, but they work great when you're playing against human players. But when you're playing against
you know, AI, not even AI really at this point, still is somewhat, but not really. It's not the same. It's like what this game did is it like shifted the focus permanently. Even with Quake, like you had to make a good, like nobody called it a single player campaign. It was just called Quake. And then there was like multiplayer Quake deathmatch, right? It was still the main feature of Quake was Quake. It was the game. But after, and certainly with Half-Life was, the, you know, it was the game, you know, it was, mm-hmm. it was the whole story and everything. Halo changed that. And I think that what, I don't think they intended it this way either. I just think they were a victim of their own success. And
I can see yeah, that.
I don't know which came first, but, the Quake mod Team Fortress did, start at some point. That might have been before Halo. I don't remember.
It was close enough, at least. Yeah, I would
in that
say.
Ballpark.
And that's also an important thing that should be mentioned. And that also has more significance because that like is like, you know, the triumph of mod culture and such. But my point is that with Halo marks a sort of turning point, especially with console FPSs, which were the more streamlined thing. And now they're not so much different from the PC, you know, they're basically the same, but I don't feel like there was any huge leaps in this in the FPS genre until you got to like the horde mode type games, and then after that it was like no real huge leaps until the battle royale type games, and then here we are, and that's not a lot for like 20 years. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I'm not. And it's just that's just the nature of the beast. It's like that to me is why Halo is so important, is because it like it or not, it created very much what we think of this genre now. And it's still a very, very popular genre. The FPS genre at this point, if you think about it, especially as like a multiplayer thing, it's like it's the most enduringly popular game genre in history. There's nothing that even touches it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the closest would probably be fighting games that had like 10 years.
Oh, not no, I don't even think fighting games are even close because they had a big dry spot.
Yeah, like I said, they have like 10 years of dormancy.
Yeah.
I don't even know what like would number three would be.
I would say like the other one would be like sports games. I say it's number two is sports games. Like not
this
not
is
like
our in, culture.
No, look.
Okay, I'm sounding like an a-hole.
Yeah, you do. Because as I've said many times, like sports video games are just video games. It doesn't matter whether you like sports or not.
They're
either fun or they aren't. So
they used to be very fun and actually innovative and easy to understand video games, and then they just became like real sports.
Have you played anything?
I've seen footage from really old stuff, and
I haven't.
Okay,
and so they tried to be
that.
Really, okay, you know, realistic, and
it didn't get better than Tecmo Super Bowl. That's all
we're just talking. Let's let her speak.
Like I have seen, like definitely, like a lot of old sports games that try to be, you know, like as realistic as possible, you know, to varying degrees of success. And it's like I don't feel like them wanting to be, you know, realistic and all that other kind of thing is anything new or whatever. It's just like. Once, you know, you get to, you know, the many iterations of Madden, you just have something that's easier to point at and say, this is what yeah. I think of.
It's true. I mean, my point is just to talk about like what has defined the culture.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with what I actually play. I don't play a lot of FPS games. Like I played a little bit of Left 4 Dead when that was new. I like that. Not a huge fan. You know, battle royale games. I do like those a lot, partly because I'm a little bit better at them than I am at like Halo style multiplayer or like COD type stuff. But that's, you know, I mean, I'll be honest about it. That's kind of it. It's like I am a little bit better about it because they reward like I think cleverness a little bit better than like Twitch reflexes. Mm-hmm. But that's all a reaction to this. And the values that this instilled into developers for like the next 10 years. That's a huge deal. And it's not a bad game. It's a good game. So I feel like we got to rank it pretty high.
Like the place that I was looking on the list was 68, which is immediately above Half-Life.
Oh,
because
shots fired.
Like, one, this is a better game than Half-Life. Even if this is like only 3/5 a good game, then, well, you know, that's 3/5 better than Half-Life ever was.
Well,
And like, and people go on about how Half-Life is like such a big thing for his physics engine. It's like, its physics engine isn't really that good. It's barely a physics engine, and it was just taking ideas from Trespasser, which did physics far more interestingly, but was way more buggy and broken.
They did it far more interestingly because you get stuck in a dinosaur.
No, I mean, like, have you seen like footage of like Trespasser working correctly?
No, nobody has seen that. It
because like you look at, you know, the way the physics work, and it's like, okay, you can actually have like proper like physics seesaws and whatnot. It's like if something is like rounded and goes on a slope, it'll roll. In Half-Life, you get like a crate, you press like the push button, and it just kind of slides over there with like no control of like, the degree of force that you apply.
The influence of Half-Life has nothing to do with its physics, and if anyone says it does, they're idiots. Like,
that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, what matters
and about Half-Life, the game itself isn't good.
No, that's ridiculous. That's crazy.
Having played both and understanding what they both bring to FPSs as a whole, I'm just going to let you two kind of fight it out.
That's not how you finish that sentence, Sotenga. That's not how you finish that sentence. What you say is that having played both and understanding both, my opinion is... Like, you don't...
Okay. If you want me to step up to the mic here...
I do. Lose
yourself. I will say I agree to an extent with what Word is saying, but not for the reasons that she says. I would place Halo higher simply because I think it did more to innovate FPSs from a gameplay standpoint. What Half-Life mostly did was influence things more from a story standpoint, which I hate to say probably doesn't hold up as much as things from the mechanical side of game design.
How high would you put it?
Oh, where would I actually put the game? I want to place it right next to Half-Life because, honestly, I don't like placing games of the same genre immediately next to each other. That just seems lazy.
That's what you're doing!
No, that's not what I'm going to do. I wanted to place it a few clicks higher, but I'm just wondering how high. 62, between Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and Sid Meier's Civilization.
Okay. Hmm. I feel weird about doing this because I don't really like the Halo series in particular. Like, I enjoy playing multiplayer with people, but not really my game. And it's kind of where I checked out of FPSs for, like I said, until like Left 4 Dead, which is a long time. But I feel like I would rate it higher than both of you because
that's cool.
It's like I said, like it defined the genre for a decade, and it did a lot of, like, it did things that better than any other game of the genre had done up to that point, and it recognized that the strength of the game had to be in its multiplayer, regardless of how good the story was. And in my opinion, like, an FPS with a good story is like, I don't know, like...
Deus Ex.
No.
Born with a good plot? To
yeah, there's that. I was trying really hard not to do that one, but that's pretty much
it. I am so base. I've been screwing everything up throughout this entire
podcast. No. I was just trying not to bring that up because I think we've done it before. And I was like, what's the original? And I was like, that's the only thing I can think of.
I'm so predictable.
No, you saved my ass. Like, that's what I was going to have to say. And then you said it. Now I can sound like a big man by saying, oh, so predictable.
I'm glad to be your meat shield, sir.
I appreciate it. Okay, look.
Hank over here.
I would put it below Adventure above Papers, Please. And I hate saying that because I love Papers, Please. And I
do too.
But I feel like this game is incredibly influential. I feel like the multiplayer aspect of it was done so well that it really did define the genre for such a long time. And that genre went on to define games that had nothing to do with FPSs. But the idea of how like multiplayer matches should work and like the flow of that and what that brought to the conversation about like how games are developed, what is the concept of balance? What is the concept of, you know, what is fun and what people, how game players want to interact with each other? For better or worse, Halo kind of set those boundaries, and it was like Halo's world for, like I said, a decade. And, I, yeah, I, So we've got three different placements. So it's got to be lower than what I said, because both of you are lower than that. Can either of you go higher than Steel Battalion?
I'm willing to. I like Steel Battalion innovatively, but it is honestly kind of an acquired taste to play. I think Halo's more.
The thing about Halo is that, yeah, it's pretty playable.
You know? I'm willing to throw it into 65 just because I don't like FF7.
Okay.
Okay.
I got to give FF, like, I feel like it's so popular to hate on FF7 that I do have to stand up for it. Now, the question is,
like, whether it's not even like a matter of popularity. I just look at it and it's like, why do people like this? I don't get it.
Sooner or later, there's going to be an FF7 remake that is going to make everybody appreciate the original FF7 a lot more. Mark my words.
It's the one that I'm actually interested in checking out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
I'm just saying, like, they've confirmed that they're going to do, like, the whole, like, cross-dressing and honeybee in thing, and I am fascinated how they're going to cover that subject.
That is probably the best part of the game, I'll be honest. But the stuff they're doing to the game, I don't think people are, I think it's going to get a really negative reaction. I don't understand why Square spent 4 years, preparing this travesty. Satenga, agree or disagree? Above or below Final Fantasy VII? You're the decider.
As much as I like FF7 myself, I'm going to put it above.
That's where it goes. Below Parameters, I cannot believe Parameters, I got it that high, but...
I had to look up what Parameters was.
What is that even? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's why you should play it. Everybody should play Parameters. It's awesome.
Good argument.
I got it up that high, and I'm proud of doing it, and I'm so glad that Halo is going below it and above Final Fantasy VII. That is a big victory, Xerxes.
You were planning this.
Thanks, everybody. And we will wrap at you next time, and please don't hate us. But that's where Halo goes. I think it's really, really high, and Halo is really, really important. And it's kind of like its importance is sort of lost to time, because you can't really go back in time and experience it as what it was.
It's kind of a Seinfeld. Like, everything it spawned so many imitators that, like, you go back to it and you kind of lose, like, just what made it, you know, impressive in the first place.
It's like what Tarantino was to the 1990s of independent film.
Well, that's a good note to go out on. Until next time, everybody.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.